Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. LJ, waiting on Tweety to call in. Before we even get into anything sports-wise, entertainment-wise today, there's a couple of well-publicized tragedies that happened over this past weekend. There was a car accident. Tragedy struck in at the Oklahoma State homecoming event. A car crashed to a crowd of people. Last I was tracking, four people were killed. There was eight in critical condition, and I think there were approximately 30 some odd personnel injured. So prayers out to Oklahoma State and their fan base and their student body and all the people associated with those with that university. Unfortunately, it's kind of been a university associated a little bit with, you know, they know all too well about tragedy there back in 2011. They had a couple of coaches that passed away in a plane crash. And then back in 2001, they had a couple of basketball players that passed away in a plane crash. So prayers up for all those associated with the Oklahoma State University. And anybody just out there and about in that city that happened to be a part of the event and were affected in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Also, news is just coming out that NBA coach slash GM slash owner Cliff Saunders lost his battle with cancer today, passed away at the age of 60. He's probably most well known from not this stint that he had that he was currently going through with the Minnesota Timberwolves, but when he was previous there, when and Kevin Garnett's younger days, back when they had Garnett, Troy Hudson, Sprewell, and they made it to the Western Conference Finals. So rest in peace to Flip Saunders, and prayers up to all of his family, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and all the players in the NBA who had any sort of relationship or anything like that, Flip Saunders. Yeah. But after that being said, before we even touch into sports, I want to get your thoughts on something. By the way, folks, Tweety joined in. Before we get started, if you want to call in and give your take on anything, the number is 646-668-2343. Again, that number is 646-668-2343. I want to get your opinion on what keeping it real means and what's real and what's not real. This is just real quick. So a little backstory. If you haven't heard about the rapper Slim Jesus, he made a song called Drill Time. I don't know much about drill rap. I mean, I don't keep up with it. I know it's a Chicago thing. So whatever. Anyways, he came out with a song called Drill Time. It's basically drill rapping. He got a lot of – he talking about shooting people, doing this, that, and the third – they got guns in the video. Then he comes out and he said, "Oh no, I don't really do that. I just like rapping about the stuff." And then, but at the same time, he's kind of like, I'm not worried because I always got people around me. Like, what are your thoughts as far as rap goes? Do you feel like as a rapper has to live what he's rapping about, or he or she is rapping about?
Personally, no, because I personally think this is all entertainment. But in the realm of that, it's a lot of people that do feel that way. A lot of people do feel that if you're going to go on stage and rap about it, you better damn well be about it. He ain't got to worry about people like me. He ain't worry about people like that. Like, because you enlightened me on him, and I went and watched his video just before the show. And I even watched, I watched Game. Game had a response to it. And, somebody asked him how he felt about, Slim Jesus. And he said he thought Slim Jesus was dope, but he was like, he's a this white boy better really be out here killing folks, or he gonna get beat. He gonna get beat down. Because there's some people who really feel like you better be about that if you gonna say it.
The thing that I find most interesting about this kid is that he continues to say, "Oh, I don't do that." First of all, he said it was stupid. So if I was a drill rapper and I was actually like doing what I say in my raps, I probably would be insulted. So you can say what I do because I'm living that lifestyle, I'm rapping about what I live. You call me stupid, I probably have a problem with that. But the biggest thing to me is like he keeps getting these interviews saying, "Oh no, no, I don't do that," but he never. It's like he passive aggressive. I don't do that, but I got people around me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not scared or nothing. It's like, okay, well, it's almost like he's trying to distance himself from it, but he don't want to seem weak. That's the only part I don't like about it. Like, if you ain't about that life, just say, hey, I just rap about it. That ain't me. And leave it at that. But it's like he keeps trying to put one foot in and one foot out. And the problem is like, I mean, I don't know none of these cats from Chicago. I listen to rap. They rap a little bit, but not too much. I ain't don't know them like I know the dudes that, from the era I grew up in. But they talk like these guys, the Chicago cats that got a problem with them, talk, make it sound like they really about that issue. So, I don't know. I just hope it doesn't get past that. My thing is, you can't, if that's not you, just say it ain't you and leave it alone and stop trying to play both sides of the fence. Because these other cats who feel like you disrespecting their city, you know, one of them probably going to see you about it. But that's neither here nor there. On to another subject. College football.
Right.
We ain't even got to really talk about it. Crazy, not too much craziness yesterday. Miami got smoked by Clemson. Utah lost. USC.
Utah got
but
smoked.
Interestingly enough, the last two wins, if I remember correctly, against ranked opponents by USC, the coaches have both been the interim coaches. That's kind of neither here nor there. Utah, Texas A&M got smoked. Well, I wouldn't call it smoked. They got dominated. Florida State lost on I wouldn't call it a fluke play.
Nah, it's a special team play.
Reminded me of the Alabama-Auburn game a few years ago. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. But, you know, I bet everybody tightening up on their special team. This has been a very interesting year for special teams. But I would say the most interesting thing that happened to me, that I felt like I saw yesterday was, or the one thing that really stood out to me yesterday was the injury to Baylor's quarterback. If you don't know, Seth Russell, he broke a bone in his neck. As of the last time I read something or saw something, there was still, like, no specific timetable as far as how long he was going to be out or whatnot. Right now, Baylor is ranked number 2. How do you think this will – if he's done for the season, how do you see this affecting Baylor going forward?
Maybe it might not affect them at all until you get to the TCU game. And the only reason why I say that particular game is because that's the game that's been hyped up in the conference all year. And the quarterback, they went through it last year. And he understands the moment. He understands he's been there before. Whereas this freshman, he ain't been there before. Although from what the few snaps I saw last week, he was all right. I mean, you know, Baylor got that quarterback system to where it don't seem like nobody really gonna take a dramatic drop off when they throw a quarterback in. It's just not big for that quarterback, and that might be the only game it may have an effect. But other than that, I don't really see it hurting Baylor at all.
The other thing he's got,
if he's out for the rest of the season.
Another thing Baylor's got going for him, they got a big-time receiver. In Corey Coleman.
Kid's got
18 touchdowns already.
Yeah.
And Baylor also has the ability to run the football. Their running back they have is pretty good. Shock Linwood.
Baylor always usually have a pretty decent running game because of the fact that they have such a big passing game. They running back usually always go quietly. He'll always have a quiet 1,200-yard season. And you never know it because the quarterback don't put up 5,000 yards passing. It's just, it's hard to overshadow that.
Now, speaking of,
into another college football, we both watched a lot of football over the last five to ten years.
I would say that
would
the value
that
of
the
running back,
of the running back
in the NFL for
the
sure
NFL for
has,
sure
has gone down.
Has gone down
with the with more teams
with
using
the
spread offense. Now, in my
right.
opinion,
now,
the value of
running
backs from the high school level
on up has gone
down.
Now,
I'm looking at a high and watch ESPN extra
poll of
these
1, 2, 3.
Of the nine players that are
players
in this poll,
six of them are running backs.
Right.
I know the focus this year
the
for the most part has been on Leonard Fournette.
Everybody's
Leonard Fournette,
Leonard
Fournette.
Do
you think this
crop
of college
running
backs
is
going
to
bring
back
the value of running backs
from
the days when
the
NFL had like Emmitt
Smith,
Barry
Sanders,
Barry
Foster,
where guys were getting 25
carries
a game?
You know, and the reason why I say they won't, not because of their talent or their skill level, but because the NFL is still going to run spread offense. Like, it's still all about the quarterback. And until the play calling and maybe, I ain't going to say rule changes, but maybe until the play calling and the style of the NFL goes back to giving the ball to a running back 20 to 30 times a game, like an Adrian Peterson or like we did DeMarco Murray last year, then the value of the running back will either continue to diminish or it'll probably hit a valley and it'll stay around that area because it's really all about the play style. Like, the value of the running back dropped because people start letting their quarterback throw about 50, 60 times a game. We had Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders and Barry Foster and Jerome Bettis and them getting the ball all the time. Quarterbacks wasn't throwing, like Troy Aikman, for example, probably didn't average no more than 20 to 25 pass attempts a game. Where Emmitt averaged about 25, almost 30 carries a game.
Now, I would say that.
I think these guys have a chance for the simple fact that, to me, over the last five to ten years, there just hasn't been a lot of great running backs.
In college football, Leonard Fournette,
LSU won yesterday.
He's carrying LSU. I wouldn't say Ezekiel Elliott is carrying Ohio State, but he's having an amazing season. Derrick Henry is carrying Alabama. I'm not going to say he's by far their best offensive player, in my opinion. And then the other two guys are. Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey. I'm a little bit more skeptical about Cook. He's got a lot of touchdowns and he's got a lot of yards. But he doesn't have a carry.
He doesn't have as many carries as the other guys.
Like, for example, Derrick Henry has 180 carries, and I think Cook has only 127. But Cook gets a lot of those chunk yards. I mean, he has eight rushes of 30-plus yards this season.
Right.
So I think these guys, especially Leonard Fournette and Derrick Henry, those two guys in particular remind me of those guys you can give the ball 20, 25 times a game, like the Cowboys used DeMarco Murray last year. When you line up in an I formation or, you know, Alabama runs a lot out of the one back set and you hand the ball to that guy 20, 25 times and, you know, you expect him to average 90-plus yards a game and score you 12 to 18 touchdowns every year. I think those two guys are capable of that. But
are you going to land on a team that's willing to give you the ball like that in NFL? I think, like you say, the kid in Alabama, he is carrying Alabama. I would agree with you with that. He's getting the ball. Now, if you go, and he might, if he goes to a team like Indianapolis or somebody, he may work out. Pittsburgh, somebody like Pittsburgh.
Speaking of Indianapolis is getting washed.
They might
need it is embarrassing. Your phone is breaking up. I think Tweety's having some phone issues right now. So before we move into the NFL, I'm going to update you on some of the scores across the NFL. Tampa Bay is up right now. 24-21
over Washington.
Atlanta is up 10-7
over the Titans.
I think Chuck Downer unfortunately probably get fired at the end of this season. 27-0 Saints over the Colts. Vikings up 25-17. Jim Caldwell might get fired as well. Chiefs are up 16-10 over the Steelers. Rams 17-6 over the Browns. The Colts. Dolphins. Man, the Texans are terrible. 41-6 They took the Dolphins. The Jets are up 17-16
over the Patriots.
Jags beat the Bills 34-31. Man, after all that talking, fucking, the Bills still suck. Rex Ryan looks like. What did they say? I forgot what they said. Blowhard, whatever you call it. He's doing a lot of talking. Bills.
They keep losing.
But
keep losing.
The NFL has been a fairly interesting season to me so far. You have a few undefeated teams. I believe it's the Bengals, the Patriots are undefeated, the Broncos,
Panthers.
I want to say there's one other team.
Carolina
is undefeated. So in my opinion, by far, the two worst teams. Of those undefeated teams, the Broncos and the Panthers.
Okay.
The Broncos have an awesome defense.
Their defense is amazing.
Their offense.
Peyton Manning is washed. I don't care what anybody says. Peyton Manning is washed.
Okay, I get you.
The days of the great Peyton Manning are over.
Do you think the Broncos coaches have enough intestinal fortitude to say, hey, you know what, Peyton, you're not as good as you once were.
You're now going to be more of a game manager than a guy where we say, hey, let's go out there and throw the ball 45, 50 times and let Peyton Manning win the game for us. Instead of that, let's turn around, hand it off, you know, 30, 35 times a game, let Peyton Manning throw the ball 25, 27 times a game, and rely on their defense. Do you think the coaches have the intestinal fortitude to play Peyton Manning like that?
No. I don't think nobody does. But I think they will eventually get there because they might bring it to him in a situation where it make it look like it was his idea instead of forcing it to him, try to give it to him like, hey, Peyton, when you think this would be a good idea like this? Because you got to do something. You can't have Peyton going out here pretty much practically giving the other team the game and your defense snatching it back. So, yeah, you're going to have to give, like I said, Peyton's going to have to, they're going to have to come down on his passing attempt sooner or later. But I don't think nobody, not this coaching staff anyway, because even they did it last year, but that was a totally different coaching staff. So I don't think nobody's gonna have it in them to go approach him with it. It'll be something they'll have to adjust to at the end of the season, or Peyton just gonna have to retire.
I don't think he's gonna retire. I think Peyton Manning can play for another year. How many starting quarterbacks right now would you take over Peyton Manning?
Over this Peyton Manning?
Over Peyton Manning? Would you take Alex Smith over Peyton Manning?
That's what I'm going to say. It ain't a lot of good quarterbacks in the league, period.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So even a diminished Peyton Manning is better than most quarterbacks in the NFL. Because there's just, I mean, Nick, St. Louis, Cleveland, Nick Foles, and Josh McCown. Neither one of those guys is
better than Peyton Manning.
True.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, not better than Peyton Manning.
Not better than Peyton Manning.
True.
Kirk Cousins, not better than Peyton Manning. Jameis Winston, and the list goes, I mean, you probably can name maybe 10 quarterbacks. Who are better than Peyton Manning. So, I still think he's above average. But I just don't think he's the Peyton Manning that can
carry them
to a championship.
To a championship.
Yeah. Moving on past the Broncos.
Moving on past the Broncos.
Cowboys Giants. 425.
Right now the NFC East.
The Eagles are in first place.
Excuse me.
Cowboys are in third. Giants are in second. Cowboys lost three in a row. The Giants lost last weekend. What do you think is going to take the Cowboys to win this game?
Pressure on Eli Manning and Matt Castle. For Matt Castle to at least test the defense deep once or twice, completing the knot, at least throw the ball more than 20 yards downfield. So they got to bring somebody out of the box. At least show them that you will go deep. But other than that, for the most part, though, it's pressure on Eli. Pressure. Can the defense cause turnovers? Because I don't think it really matters who's at quarterback right now. If the running game can't get going, if the passing game can't get going, it's really dependent upon what our defense can do for our offense, because the offense ain't really in a position to do much for the defense. Like, we can't hold the ball all quarter like we at one point in time could. With DeMarco Murray, we can't.
One correction. I forgot the Packers are undefeated as well. They are listed.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, starting Brandon Weeden. You got to be pretty bad as a backup quarterback
to be replaced.
So I just want to state that for the record. You got to be pretty bad if you're the backup quarterback and you get replaced. Because Steve is basically saying, hey, we know this guy is not good enough. When you're the backup quarterback, for the most part, unless you're a young guy, the organization is saying, we know this guy is not good enough to start, but he can start a couple of games in case our starting quarterback gets hurt. And Brandon Weeden, he started a couple games, but he was so bad that they said, you know what? We don't even want to watch you until the starting quarterback comes back. You need to just watch. Now he's the backup backup. Safe to say, I don't think Brandon Weeden is going to be around with
Cowboys next year.
No, he shouldn't be either, though.
I think the Cowboys are going to have the running ball. You know, we got to get some big plays, like you said, throw the ball down. Just some big plays in general. And I don't mean big touchdown plays, but I'm a believer when it comes to football that you have to be able to pick up what I consider chunk yards, those plays that are, you know, 15-plus yards. I mean, obviously you can't do that every play, but I just don't think it's sustainable on any level of football for a team to consistently go 60, 70, 80 yards, and average 4 or 5 yards. You know, average 4 or 5 yards every play. You know, too many penalties, too many. You know, you're gonna get behind the chains too often when you get that second and nine, third and eight.
Right.
And then you know you're gonna be playing. So I think they gotta figure out a way to get chunk yards. Terrence Williams gotta do something.
Terrence Williams is a no show. I'm actually hoping Devin Street have a big game, cause I don't got much faith in Terrence Williams. I'm tired of saying Terrence Williams got to step up. I said that like 6-7 weeks, and I'm dating back to last year. And Terrence Williams, I don't have no faith that he'll step up and make any plays. So I'm actually going with some new faces. I'm hoping Devin Street or the dude that pulled his hammy that we got from Oakland that actually made a play downfield against the Saints and pulled up lame. I can't remember his name right now. We got him from the Raiders. He's a receiver. I hope he can play big again, but I have zero faith in Terrence Williams. I gotta see it.
And we'll talk firstly about the other side. What do you think the Giants have to do for them to win the game?
Keep Eli upright. Like I said, because that's the best chance the Cowboys have, because as we have seen this year, if you can keep your quarterback upright, he can still have a record there against the Cowboys. Tom Brady, when we was banging him up in the first half, they only got 13 points. Once we stopped getting to him, he pulled off on us. Matt Ryan pulled off on us. Drew Brees made plays when he needed to when we wasn't getting pressure in his face. That's it because the Giants are just as hurt or injured, as if you want to say, as just as the Cowboys are. So if they can keep their star player that they still have upright, then he might be able to hook up with Odell Beckham for a few big plays. But if not, then I don't think they really have a chance. Because we also saw last week you put pressure on Eli, he would throw it to the other team.
I think you've seen that his entire career.
Right.
The other big key to me for the Cowboys is ball control. They're going to have to keep the Giants off the field.
Off the field.
And outside of just getting the rush, if the Cowboys can't control the clock with the run game, it's going to be hard for them to keep up offensively. I don't think the Giants have a great offense, but, you know, the Cowboys will give up big plays in the passing game because they have so many injuries. Whatever the reason, they will give up. A lot of big plays in the passing game, and the Giants obviously have players who are capable of making those plays. So if the Cowboys can't keep the Giants off the field and run the ball, I don't think they'll win the game, and they'll carry that losing streak on to four games. Four games played, reached 5,000 yards. Update on the scores. Coach, I can't believe the Colts are this bad. Are you surprised by how bad the Colts have been this season?
No. And the only reason why I'm saying no is because it seems like Andrew Luck really made up for a lot of mistakes that team had. And then you got rid of the one receiver that was like his security blanket in Reggie Wayne. So now it don't surprise me that they're this bad. The defense already sucked. That's why they couldn't hold on to any type of a lead. And now it's coming back to bite them because now they have all young players on offense and they can't score. Now they can't score. They position is where they should. The position where they should be young at is where they're actually old at, which is running back. And they can't score. That's the biggest problem. The defense was already bad. Now the offense is just as bad.
And I'm going to
point out one thing about
Andrew. No, he throws a lot of interceptions.
Right.
I just want to say that because I know there's a lot of people out there in football fandom that can't stand Tony Romo. Always talking about him throwing interceptions, but they don't care. Oh, excuse me, not Romo. I think about Jameis Winston. He's throwing a lot of interceptions the first couple weeks. But a lot of big-time quarterbacks. Peyton Manning is another guy who tends to throw a lot of interceptions. Anyways, we got 60 seconds left. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Tune in next week, same time, same channel. Got any parting shots, Tweety?
Nah, we didn't have no games this weekend, so I just say shout-out. Homecoming this weekend for the City Crest Comets. If you're in Dallas, come support us at the Salvation Army. See the Chris.
I think there's like some kind of alumni flag game going on.
Yeah, alumni flag game. Come on out and support.
We didn't even get to talk about Tristan Thompson. Which I was right about. He didn't get no damn match contract because he ain't that good. All right, we'll see y'all next week.
All right.
Same bad time, same bad channel. Peace.